We bring in Eno Saris, and Eno, a wonderful baseball writer, national writer for The Athletic, and I love following you. You always come up with a lot of innovative ideas. Eno, nice to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me on.
No, glad to have you with us, and I love to get your reaction just to the first couple of days around Major League Baseball, and we'll start with the games we talk about, and that's the Giants and the Dodgers. I know there's no way to predict what's been happening, but how much emphasis do you put on just watching the first couple of games?
I think a lot's going to get figured out in the first couple of games when it comes to bullpen pecking order. I think velocity is something to watch early in the season. That's something that becomes meaningful really quickly. So, for example, seeing that Kenley Jansen was so down in velocity last night, that would be worrisome to me if I were the Dodgers. So there are some things that I look at in the early going, but I try not to get too excited because it is just two games so far.
Well, we only have 160 to go. I mean, what could happen? What could happen? You know, the bullpen thing is interesting, and you touched on that just lightly before we started. And Gabe Kapler already has used 15 pitchers in the first couple of games, and he pulled Nola after 68 pitches, Pivetta after four innings. And I said almost by accident, maybe the Giants are into the analytical part of handling a bullpen, because the starting pitching that should be coming up for them, and then other than Cueto, probably will require a lot of bullpen behind them. Do you see that coming?
Yes, and that is the way the game is going. However, if you see what happened with the Phillies setting a record, Gabe Kapler, the rookie manager, they're setting a record for a number of pitchers used in the first two games of a season with 15. I think that this idea of going to the bullpen early and using our relievers a lot more to avoid, gas starters, running into trouble in the fifth and the sixth innings, I think that idea needs to be fleshed out a little bit more, because we did it in the postseason when there is no tomorrow and there are more rest days. I'm not sure that it's a kind of a break. It feels kind of breakneck if you're going to do it for 162. So I think we're already seeing in Philadelphia there's a couple of relievers. One reliever went on the DL already. So there's a bit of a, like, are we really going to be like this all year long? And so I think the Giants' strength in the past has been a good starting rotation. I doubt we're going to see Ty Block going out in the third and fourth inning to get to that bullpen. It's not necessarily the bullpen is, I think, decent, but it's not necessarily a strength of the team as starting pitchers have been in the past.
No, I agree with you. Very good analysis. Eno Saris is with us, S-A-R-R-I-S, and he writes for The Athletic. Eno, you've got like a national title these days, I think. Didn't they give you a different position here?
Yes, I'm kind of the director of analytics for the Athletic. But what that means, beyond just writing from a sort of statistical bent, I talk to players too, and I hope you can tell from my analysis, I'm not numbers only. But beyond just writing for the Athletic, I'm also recruiting local writers to all the great local sites we have, so that we have great local access. Andrew Baggerly is our beat writer for the Giants on the Athletic, but I also want to have someone next to him kind of doing deep dives and looking at mechanics or statistics and going at it from a slightly different angle.
Ah, terrific. You had an interesting column that I saw this week, Eno Saris's 10 bold predictions for the coming season. And one that got my attention was Joey Gallo. And I watched Houston shift on him. They did something that I did when I played softball for the Fog City Icemen. We had four outfielders. And the Houston Astros did four outfielders against Joey Gallo. And I'm saying to myself, well, can he go the other way? Would he just do it? And he just cranks up and pulls the ball as hard as he can. And you predict he may be the home run champion for the American League.
Well, one thing I liked about Joey Gallo was that he cut down his strikeouts, and he did it by actually saying it was an intent. It wasn't just a sort of spring training anomaly. I think he said that he wanted to have a two-strike approach. One of the reasons I love his teammate Nomar Mazara is that he has a two-strike approach. The two-strike approach has kind of been going out of the game as batters have been swinging for the fences in every count. And I could see Joey Gallo. He's so powerful. He hits the ball so hard that I could see him hitting homers in two-strike approaches. I think this will be a good development for him. I have some hope for him. At the very least, he's one of the most powerful men in baseball, and it's not a bad bet to bet on someone who can hit the ball that hard.
All right, so you're...
As for the shift, you know, they practice that in the spring training in Houston. So we're going to see some more four-man outfields, and it's not going to only be against Joey Gallo. So I think it's fine. I think probably some batters are going to have to learn to drop the bunt down, like you said.
Yeah, so you're going to put your $5 down on Joey Gallo. Can I have Judge and Stanton?
Well, they were supposed to be bold predictions, so okay. It's a little less bold to take one of the Yankees.
All right. We'll put a lunch on it. Let's put it there. I'll give you odds on that. Looking at velocity, you did bring that up, and we've got Chris Stratton going tomorrow night. He is not a velocity guy, but he's a spin rate guy. And his curveball, and I saw it in Arizona. I saw you down in Scottsdale as well. He had as good a curveball as I've ever seen in spring training. Spin rate for him, I think he's got one of the best in baseball, doesn't he?
He does. That curveball is the best in baseball, or was last year. And spin is, we're still trying to figure out exactly how it works. I think it might be about deception or fooling the batter a little bit. Maybe they have less time to react to the pitch, but... high spin when it comes to curveballs and four seamers has been shown to affect outcomes. So swinging strikes and bad balls in play. And I think, you know, what I'd like to see out of Stratton this year is maybe just throw it more. I mean, Rich Hill has a really nice high spin curveball and he throws it nearly 40% of the time. So I could see if Stratton pushes that up. And I've talked to Stratton about this. And one thing that he says is, well, if I throw the curveball a ton, what happens when the relievers come out and they're throwing a lot of breaking balls? And I said, their breaking balls won't look like yours. You know, I think you should go for it. So we'll see how far he pushes that curveball. But I think he could almost do well with a sort of 40-40-20 split and really focus on the fastball, which he has good command of, and then that big curveball.
Well, because it cuts down on hard contact if you can't square it up. And I think that's the other analytic that I like is hard contact. And I think it cuts down on it if you can get the curve over. But tomorrow night, it's Rich Hill and Stratton. I think the world may spin off its axis from spin.
Yeah, they're probably at the nexus of a little bit of a change in baseball, which is that we're seeing more and more breaking balls and fewer fastballs every year. And we're seeing an emphasis on spin. And I think it's exactly what you're saying. There are fewer home runs hit on curveballs and sliders. So curveballs in particular. So what you do is you just have your pitchers throw them more often, especially since the link between curveballs and injury, which we used to think was a very strong link, I think more research has found that it's not necessarily as strong a link as we thought.
Wow. Well, great to have you on. I love it. I hope that you'll be a regular guest with us. Good information, easy to understand, and I'll look forward to tomorrow night with these two guys. And Holland tonight, he's a guy maybe more hard contact than not for me. If you look at all the, you know, the home runs he give, you know, if you give up, you know, yeah, 20 hits, but 16 of them are extra bases, not good. So that's what I worry about this guy.
I wish he could develop a curveball. The changeup that he's been throwing, I don't think it's very quality, and so that leaves him as a fastball slider lefty, and sliders traditionally are easier to hit from an opposite-handed batter. So you put a bunch of righties in the lineup. They can hit his slider, and he's got nothing else to go to. So, you know, he's got a new pitching coach now. Maybe he'll work on that curveball or try a new grip on a changeup. You know, he still throws decently hard, and the slider is still a good pitch. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I think it would be nice to have a couple of our guys back.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. I see the changeup is big pitch tonight to get people off balance. You know, a pleasure having you on, and please come back anytime. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and a pitch to watch for everybody, I think, is I just wrote about today on The Athletic is Hunter Strickland's new breaking ball, he's been throwing. And I think it's really interesting because right now he's been throwing it and people haven't been swinging at it because not necessarily in the scouting reports. It's a new velocity. It's like 87 or so. Since he throws so hard, they've been mostly laying off of it. So he's been throwing it in the zone for called strikes. Now we have to worry about, like, what happens when people start swinging at it. So I think, you know, he's cross two hurdles in that he trusts the pitch and that it looks decent and he can command it in the zone. The next one is, can he put it below the zone when they start swinging at it? So if he can do that, then he's a three-pitch closer who can throw 98. So, you know, I've always had a soft spot for Hunter Strickland. I know there's been some bad moments for him in black and orange, but I think the future is still bright for him.
Boy, great analysis. I agree with you 100%. I talked to Andy about this earlier when he was on, that he's trying to pitch. He's just not throwing the fast. He's trying to pitch, but he gets too much of the plate with what he's throwing. But he's throwing curveballs, sliders. He threw a 3-2 breaking ball to get to face somebody. But you're right. You're exactly right. He gets a little too much of the plate with it, so that's going to have to change. Very good.
And that's been a problem with his fastball in the past. You know, he can command it to the outside corner, and he can hit that spot for called strikes, but he's too predictable, and he's too far into the zone. So maybe if he just puts more wrinkles on the pitches, and then he can live in the zone, just have more movement on the pitches. So
very good.
I still like him as a pitcher.
Very good. Good. I'm glad you brought up. Eno, thank you so much. Very good. Great report.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. That is Eno Saris. Very good. Raph, how do you like that from The Athletic?
That was great, Marty.
Isn't that great?
Wow.
Very good. He's terrific.